A billion years ago, there was nothing but space. Then one of God's wet farts blew all the planets in place. There were no signs of life on Mars or Venus, but planet Earth was blessed with two baby geniuses. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, tell us something we don't know.
Hello, babies. Welcome to Baby Geniuses. I'm Emily.
I'm Lisa.
Thanks for listening to our show.
And what continuing to let it happen.
What does that mean?
We're all letting this happen. I don't know. Yeah. We said that a moment ago and it made me laugh.
Letting what happen?
Just this. Just continuing to...
The podcast?
To record our strange thoughts.
Yeah.
During this strange time.
You're all complicit. Oh, boy. Yeah. Man, yeah. It's been a rough couple weeks.
Yeah. Our state is on fire.
Yes, it is. The air quality is terrible.
It's really bad. It's pretty... You have to sort of think about it for a minute before you go outside and think, do I really want to do this?
Yeah.
And it makes me feel sick. I feel like I've had like a sinus headache, migraine-y thing all week.
I'm sorry. And
no, it's okay. I feel bad for everyone who has to like work right now and use their brain. It's really rough.
It's really rough. It's you know, it's another one of those things where it's like, God, I have to acknowledge how lucky I am that I like own an air purifier and can stay inside.
Those are hard to come by right now, I've heard.
But it's also, it's hard to feel lucky, too, when you're just like, oh, yeah, it turns out the only thing that was holding me together was being able to garden.
Yeah, fully. Yeah, I really want to go outside and, like, ride or roller skate. But
yeah.
Yeah, the combo with the pandemic and the election and all the civil rights battles, really...
Everything's really ramping up in a pretty apocalyptic way, I gotta say.
Yeah, if you're feeling overwhelmed and like you kind of can't breathe, then there's a good reason for that.
Yeah, it's even more like there's three reasons to wear a mask right now. at least two reasons to wear a mask.
Yeah, what's the third?
Oh, I was just thinking of not
wanting to show your face.
There were construction workers who weren't wearing masks. So for them there were three reasons where it was like there's a pandemic and the air quality is terrible and you guys are jackhammering.
Yeah.
Like, why aren't you wearing masks?
We have construction next door to us as well, and nobody's masking up at all.
You're like, what's it going to take?
Yeah. I mean, you would be wearing a mask under normal circumstances while doing those things, I hope.
Oh, boy.
Guys, be careful.
Be careful. Yeah. It's fucking weird times. What's been going on? I remembered I wanted to talk about this. Me and Peter went and had like before the air quality got this bad, like I've been feeling so much more cooped up, and I was like, we're gonna go on a picnic in the car, and we like got some sandwiches and we drove up to like Mulholland Drive to look at the corn moon on the night when the corn moon was out.
I didn't even know there was a corn moon.
There was a corn moon, which I guess is when the moon is yellow, or I forget what makes it a corn moon. I think it was yellow. It's a full moon. And anyway, we were up there and just parked and eating sandwiches. And we heard behind us one of those celebrity home tour buses go by.
Oh, my God. You're kidding.
And I could not believe it. I was like, who is going on a celebrity home tour right now?
But how is there a way to do that while also socially distancing? Like,
there isn't.
Like, is it one of those? Is it like an outdoor bus? Like, is it like an uncovered? But that still seems unsafe.
Open air, but it's still not safe. And
that's
also
not safe.
Yeah, it's not safe. And also, it's like
all the things that you like have to do to risk your life right now.
Of all the things. I mean, I will say to their credit, like, there's a really good chance the celebrities are in their houses right now, more so than probably any other time when you could take the tour.
That's true.
Like, they're there. The car is in the driveway, you know?
Yeah. I'm glad you guys went out and had a date night.
Yeah, it was a couple weeks ago, but yeah, it was one of those. We were talking right before we started recording of just like the days just bleed into each other, and you have to kind of do something to try and differentiate them.
Yeah, you got to do something special once in a while.
Yeah,
I was needing some comfort the other night because I was feeling pretty down. So we watched my favorite movie, Hook. Because Adam hadn't seen it.
Oh, man.
And it really is my favorite movie. I think it's the perfect movie. The music is great. The set design is so opulent.
It is.
It's really psychosexual. Like, for some reason, like, everyone in it wants to fuck Peter.
Oh, yeah. Tinkerbell, for sure.
And the mermaids. And Wendy. She's like, oh, man, when I was younger, oh, boy, but now I'm your grandma. It's like, it's super weird. There's just a lot of, like, sexual energy in it. And it's very, like, choreographed in a way that most movies aren't these days. Like, if you look, like, there's so many extras, and all of them are, like, doing something special in every single scene.
Oh, my God.
I just find it really delightful.
So this is a movie that I have not rewatched. Because when I saw it as a kid, it gave me nightmares for weeks.
Really? When I saw it, okay, I saw it in the theater when I was 8, and I loved it so much that I asked my parents to take me back to the theater the next night to see it again.
Really?
Yes. I was just like, this is it. This is the best fucking thing I've ever seen. I loved it.
Do you remember being the age? I mean, I'm not saying this is an example of this, because I do think Hook was probably a good movie. But like,
it got bad reviews.
Do you remember being the age when every movie was good? Where you like could not tell that, like, you didn't think there was a movie that could be bad. It was just like every movie was just an amazing experience.
It's true. I remember seeing Look Who's Talking To with my grandma, and then I overheard her talking shit about it to my parents, like saying, oh, it sucked. And I was like, how dare you? That movie was amazing. And I thought you loved it as much as I did. I felt so betrayed.
That's so funny.
But this Hook was my favorite, and The Lion King was my second favorite movie. Because those were both amazing. I feel like it's so hard to find. The Lion King was great. They're both so good. It's so hard to like find a movie with this kind of like movie magic these days, because everything's like CGI and it just doesn't feel like this has like an actual crazy built up set. I feel like the only thing that compares to it is like Mad Max Fury Road or something.
Oh, yeah. So by movie magic, you mean like an actual like opulent set, like an elaborate.
But like all of it put together, like everything is just so considered, and like every moment is like scored perfectly. And there's a lot of like just the storytelling in it feels so magical. And I don't know. I could go off forever about Hook and how great it is. He loved it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was very gratifying.
That's good. I'm trying to think what I've been watching lately. I don't know. I dipping my toes back into Everybody Loves Raymond. That's how you know I'm in a dark place.
Dipping back in.
Yeah. We're still watching Columbo, still plowing through Columbo.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I still need to finish I May Destroy You, but it's hard to watch, so I'm sort of taking my time.
Oh, yeah. I haven't even started it, because I'm like, I don't know if I have it in me right now.
Yeah, it's rough.
Yeah.
But very good, and everyone should see it. I started watching Woke on Hulu, which is Keith Knight is this cartoonist I know, and was in like San Francisco, and so he made this show like about himself. And it's got such a great cast, and it has lots of like magic realism in it, and I thought it was really fun.
Oh, cool. I'm excited to watch that. I read Keith Knight comics because we got the Chronicle, when I was a kid, and I was like, wait a minute, when I saw the previews for it. Yeah, it looks good. I just hit my head on an open drawer in my closet.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's fun to see a show about a cartoonist.
Yeah.
For me, I like it.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how they handled that.
Yeah.
What else is going on? It's shitty not being able to go out into the garden, but I did harvest a cantaloupe.
Oh, a big boy.
It was a little boy, but I did harvest it. I posted pictures on it of it. I was very excited. It tasted so good. Yeah. That was very exciting to me.
Ooh, it tasted good too.
It tasted so good.
That's so satisfying.
It was one of those things where I was like, Peter, I need you to taste this and tell me if it actually tastes better than other cantaloupes, because to me it tastes like it does. But I mean, I do think like food you grow yourself does tend to taste better just because like it's harvested right when it's ripe and not any sooner. So
yeah. And it's so fresh. Are you worried about your plants with like all the ash and stuff?
I mean, I don't know if I maybe don't know enough about gardening to be worried.
Maybe it'll fertilize it. I don't know anything.
It seems like ash would probably not be terrible for them. Like I feel like people use ash to like fertilize as like a soil amendment, but I'm transitioning to like fall stuff now. So like there was a weekend here when it was like 115 degrees. And so like my plants just got fried. Like anything that I was still like waiting for it to produce something, like it was just like, it just got all crispy. And so I just like, It was last weekend. Yeah.
Yeah.
There were like a couple other plants that still hadn't given me any fruit at all. And so I just like cut them down because they got fried anyway. And they were already on the chopping block. So, there's a lot of stuff that I haven't planted yet, but I am starting stuff inside now. Like I have sprouts going inside, like on my dining room table, which is just like, I'm sure Peter's thrilled about.
That heat wave was such a nightmare. I went out to Burbank at like, midnight to walk the horse and it was still over 100 degrees.
Oh my gosh.
Not fun.
Not fun at all.
If I sound vaguely depressed this week, it's because I am, but I'm okay. I'm all right.
I'm sorry. I am too.
I'm still having fun at work and stuff. It's a nice distraction.
That's good. I'm trying to be mindful about like things I can do to like when I'm feeling like shit to just not like stay. And so I started writing letters to voters.
Yeah. I was just about to say My parents are up in the Bay Area, and the air up there is even worse. And I'm worried about them. But my mom was like, I just finished writing my 6,000th letter or something. She's written so many. Wait, no, not couldn't be that much. It must be 600.
Must be 600, right? I'm about to feel like real shit about the 30 I've done.
No, I added an extra zero. But 600 is so many.
It's still a lot. Because, your hand gets tired.
Yeah. I mean, she's retired, so, but yeah. I'm still like, dang, mom, that's amazing. She's making the best of this time.
That's good. Yeah. It's a thing where I'm like, when I really am feeling like I'm not going to do any of the things I said I was going to do today, I'm just going to watch TV on the couch. It's a thing I can do while I'm doing that. That makes me feel like, okay, today wasn't a total loss.
God, thank you for doing that. It's to voters in swing states?
It's to voters in swing states, and it's not saying, like, I want you to vote for a specific candidate. It's just, like, encouraging people to vote. But it targets people. Like, there are a bunch of different campaigns you can choose from, and the ones I'm doing are just, like, targeting people who are, like, usually tend to vote Democratic and are considered unlikely to vote in this election for whatever reason.
Right, yeah.
So that's the one I'm doing. I know there are other organizations. I'm just doing it through Vote Forward, which you guys can look up.
I'm going to look that up because I want to do this.
It's pretty easy. Like, they give you you end up printing it out. You need a printer. You just, like, print out the letters, and there's just a spot in the letter for you to handwrite a paragraph. And then, and their name, and you sign your name, and then it gives you the address to put on the envelope, and that's it.
Oh, great. It's, votefwd.org. I want to do this. It's so easy to just be like, I'm just going to bury my head in the sand for the next month, but I don't know. Gotta do something.
You gotta do something. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I don't want to look back and think like I didn't do anything.
I know. Feel so powerless.
Yeah. That's the thing that I've been trying to like pinpoint, because they ask you on the letters, like, you're just supposed to say, I vote in every election because, and then give your reason for voting. And I've been trying to think really hard because you're not supposed to argue for like any particular like candidate or policy or anything like that. You're just supposed to say why you vote. And I've been trying to think about, like, what can I say that will actually convince people to vote?
I'm having trouble thinking of.
The thing that I ended up landing on is trying to say, like, it makes me feel, it's like an easy way to feel less powerless or like I'm doing my part. It's like voting is the easiest way that I know of to feel like I'm doing my part. Because I'm trying to like land on like, if you vote, you get to feel good. And not like you should feel bad that you aren't voting right now. It's like, no, it's an easy way to feel good and you're doing enough. And
that's smart. Know. Like a positive motivator is good.
I'm like
not,
really
not like a guilt.
I'm really pandering to, or I'm like, I vote because of my family. I have nieces and they are special. You know, like I want the world to be good. It's just like, I'm like, I don't know who I'm writing to. So I'm not going to say like, I vote because I'm furious.
I know. I vote because I'm a feminist witch.
I vote to cast a spell.
I'm a freaking pervert.
Yeah.
And I want to protect my rights.
Yeah. I vote because I think most people are evil.
Yeah.
No, I'm trying to make it less like, or just like, I vote because I'm not a fucking asshole.
I know. Seriously.
That's like what I would say if I was being honest. So I can't be totally honest when I write these letters. So I'm just saying like, yeah, I'm voting because of this. Anyway, so if anyone wants to do that, just be forewarned that you have to like answer a questionnaire for why you want to do it so they can weed out people who might do something bad with the addresses or whatever. You just have to be prepared to tell them like why you are interested in doing it and do so in a way that isn't alienating.
That's nice. Yeah, that's good.
But then they review the applications, I think, every day, and then they'll email you when you're approved and you can just start adopting voters. And the way that it works is like you adopt a certain amount of voters. They send you a document that you print out that has all the letters, and then you prepare the letters, but you don't send them yet because studies have found you have to send them closer to the actual election date in order for it to have an effect. So I just have like this stack of letters, and they're going to try and send them like all at once on like the same day, but they're revising the date because of everything that's been going on with the post office. So it'll be sometime in October, but it's still like, it was going to be October 27th, but everyone was like, that's too late.
Yeah.
So anyway,
I might write postcards for Nithya Raman too, who's a local city council candidate.
Cool.
Yeah. Trying to, do stuff for progressive local candidates is a way that you can also feel more powerful. A nationwide election is pretty hard to feel any influence over, but
totally. Yeah. But and also I think like one problem that I think a lot of people are having, especially with this election and these candidates, is like, how do I feel fired up about helping Joe Biden? Like, I'm not going to pretend I love that guy. I'm going to talk about how I would be so fucking excited if we found out that he won the election. You know what I mean? Like, I can't imagine how happy I'll feel when that happens. But I understand people who don't feel like fired up to get out for him. But I also think like, so a good way of feeling like motivated to help with the elections is to focus on candidates like Nithya Raman and other like local progressives who can actually make change locally and who you are really excited about.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, Biden's not my favorite, but I feel like he's not actively like trying to kill me. So that's also, you know, a plus in his favor.
At least not like me and my family as a group. Like, he might have something against me personally because I've talked a lot of shit, but like, he's not actively trying to kill me. And that's such a low bar that we always have for men, but
I know. We're at that point.
We are at that point. And I will say, like, I'm genuinely, like, excited about the concessions that he made to the Sunrise Movement on his climate platform. Like, it's still not enough, but it's more than he was. It's like his climate platform has moved to the left since he got the nomination. And that, I find is encouraging. I'm going to use my endorse horse right now on the Sunrise Movement.
Baby geniuses endorse, letting nature take its course. Endorphins pump from the source when they hop up on that horse. Two babies, one endorse horse.
Endorse horse.
Endorsing services and items, no remorse. Two babies, one endorse horse.
Endorse horse.
Riding off into the sunset, now here's something we endorse.
Ooh, I love it.
Endorse horse, the Sunrise Movement. If you guys are not following them, I just set up a weekly donation to them that will last until the election, where they're, because they're working on voter turnout efforts. They're a youth-led, climate-focused social justice movement, and they have been wielding their power in such cool ways, and they are showing up to protest. One thing that I love that they do is they show up to people like Ted Cruz's house at like 4 a.m. and like wake him, wake them up. I love it so much.
I love that.
But yeah, they're like a very exciting group of young people who are organizing. It's so funny when I realize I'm not one of them. I'm not. They're all younger than me. But yeah, they're super like principled and focused. And what's going on with my neck? Anyway, they're super principled.
And,
I don't know, maybe. Anyway, I like following people like that because it makes me feel more helpful.
Yeah. I would like to endorse Emily's brand new neck rash. Welcome to the podcast.
How dare you? You're in league with the enemy.
Just sprouted up to say hello.
I just want to say, in terms of like how all three of us, you, me, and Rob, look on this Zoom right now, I'm in a very distant third in terms of how many favors my lighting is doing for me versus you guys.
I had self view turned off, but I just turned it on and I am getting some natural light.
You're getting some nice natural light.
Excellent. The smoke has cleared up very, very slightly today.
Has it?
Yeah, in our neighborhood, I can see like, well, okay, now it doesn't look so great. I feel like earlier I saw like just the tiniest tinge of blue in the sky.
I thought so too, yeah.
Maybe it was my imagination.
Try not to get too hopeful about it.
I truly was thinking like a few weeks ago, I was like, you know, the pandemic's bad, but at least I can go outside. What if there was something like where the outside was like radioactive and we couldn't even leave our homes? How bad would that be? And now I'm kind of like,
oh no, Lisa, it's your fault.
I know. I manifested it with my stupid imagination.
Oh boy.
Yeah, I was just blue skying it. well.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's rough. I'm trying to think what else has been going on that, like... Nothing? Absolutely nothing? I don't know.
we're all going to buy, like, Sprinter vans and live in them? I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. I bought a P-Style.
Yes, excellent.
Yeah, I'm in the club now. I got to practice with it. Do you have any tips?
Oh, just go for it. I will say it's easier than I thought, but when you're about to finish up, just tip it downwards. Tip it down, because there's going to be a little extra pee in the reservoir. You just want to empty that out before you, you know, pull it out and spill pee all over yourself.
Yeah.
And also, if you're using it in the wind, some pee might blow on your legs, but that's fine.
I'm just like, I think I need to be prepared for there to just like, to just get pee on myself.
Just a little bit. I don't think pee is that gross, but then again, my pee is very watery, so.
Yeah. I do not hydrate well enough to...
I didn't mean cool for that to be a brag about my hydration, but...
Well, it was. So I hope you feel really good about yourself, because your self-esteem is coming at the expense of me and my choices.
Wow, I've really damaged our friendship with one quick slip. Mm-hmm. I also say my piss doesn't stink, so I'm just kidding. Oh, but my shit does.
Oh, yeah, mine too. I felt weird lighting a match after I took a shit today, because I was like, do I really need the air to smell more smoky? anyway, should we do Chunch Chat?
Yeah.
It's time for Chunch Chat, our regular segment where we talk about any news in the world of Martha Stewart's pony, Ben Chunch.
Chunch. When the clock strikes noon, we could have a picnic lunch, fine wine, full moon, and we're chatting about Chunch.
Chunch.
Yesterday we were about to record and then we rescheduled. And, you know, that's good because Martha posted a new horse post like right after we rescheduled.
It was just fate.
Yeah, it's just coming in clutch with this Frisian post. So this post, there's a lady riding a Frisian and the caption is, spent the day looking at Bond, James Bond, short for Bindert van Gildu, a beautiful 12-year-old Frisian gelding. We are boarding this handsome beauty for the winter so he does not have to suffer the heat of Florida. Lucky boy. So it's sort of, I know that she's been shopping for a new Frisian gelding, so it's unclear if this is like a candidate for purchasing or if he's just visiting. And also, all the comments are making fun of the rider because she's so bad.
Oh, no. How is she bad?
So I read the comments before I like fully looked at the video. And I was like, dang, people are being really mean. And Martha Stewart's groom like jumped into the comments to defend them. They're like, to all these critical comments on these rider, she did absolutely wonderful considering how bouncy and lazy this horse is under saddle. He was not the... She's just dragging this horse. She's like, he was not the easiest of rides and hasn't been ridden consistently in quite some time. He is very handsome and sweet, and I can't wait to see him every day. I'm excited. And then I watched the video with more attention, and this person is bouncing all over the place. Their lower leg is just like jiggling back and forth, which is, it's supposed to, you know, kind of be motionless. And then her arms are like super far apart. She's looking down, which is bad. You're supposed to look up where you're going because your head's really heavy and it kind of throws off. So I'm just, you know, I normally am not into critiquing other riders because I'm not certainly a very good rider. But yeah, it looks pretty bad.
Well, it was the lazy horse's fault.
That's right. Yeah. I don't know. I've ridden lazy horses and you don't have to look like this. But, you know, I'm just fully being petty. Wow. Petty here on Chunch Chat. Do not snitch tag. No, I don't know if any of you know who this writer is.
Yeah, don't snitch tag anyone ever. It's not
also
cool.
I'll say it. I mean, they're probably a beginner writer and, you know, everyone has to start somewhere. So that's fine. When I roller skate, I look like a sick baby lamb. So, you know, we all
listen,
have to start
somewhere.
Are
any of us ready to be featured on Martha Stewart's Instagram and I know. Feel totally comfortable with the amount of scrutiny that comes with that? I don't think I am.
Good point. Like, did this person even know that they were going to be posted? I don't know. They probably just thought, great, an opportunity to ride a nice horse. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, does that conclude Chunch Chat?
It does. I have a whole thing about her geese, but I'll save it for next time.
Ooh, we got a goose tease.
That's a goose tease to look forward to.
All right.
Something to look forward to in
Man,
this world.
I'm so horny for this goose update now.
I mean, you should be. It's really good.
All right. That concludes Chunch Chat. We'll be right back with One on Fun.
Emily.
Yes.
What's a movie that you really liked as a child that still holds up in your opinion?
Oh, can I modify? Can I give you a weird answer? It's not
of
a
course.
Movie. It's a TV show.
Fine.
Well, okay. First of all, I did recently rewatch Freaky Friday, the Jamie Lee Curtis, Lindsay Lohan one, and that holds up really well.
I've never seen it.
I wouldn't say that was like my favorite movie as a kid because I think I was a little bit too old for it, but I totally recommend it. It's so good. It holds up so well.
Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, but Jamie Lee Curtis really carries it.
I love her.
She's so great. But I recently started rewatching Sister Sister on Netflix, which I loved as a kid. And let me tell you, it holds up way better than I expected it to.
Oh.
Jack Hay is so fucking funny on that show. And, like, she gets to tell pretty adult jokes. I was, like, surprised at how, like, racy some of the jokes are on it. But, yeah, she's great on it. And, like, it's surprisingly, like... Like, there's definitely, you know, it's predictable and it's, you know, it's a show for kids. But if you want to give yourself a real nice treat, if you ever watch Sister Sister as a kid, like, it's great.
I want to see it. I used to watch that. Was it on, what network was that on?
So it was on ABC. It was on UPN. It was on ABC, but then when ABC canceled it, it got picked up by UPN.
Right. I watched a lot of UPN back in the day.
Yeah. It ran for 6 seasons total.
Man.
Yeah. So anyway, I think it's great. It's really interesting how very quickly they recover from the premise of the series, which is that they were separated at birth and then like meet each other again at the age of like 13 or 14. And like then they're just like living together and they're just like, ugh, I'm sick of being a twin. It's like, no, you should still be reeling from the fact, like everyone should be talking about this way more for months and months. But like, I get it. Like shows were not serialized back then, but it's crazy how comfortable that they get with the the whole thing so fast. Anyway. Okay, Lisa.
I
have to ask you a question. I'm literally, please don't let me ask you a question related to being in a closet, because I'm like, clothes, a question about clothes. If you had to be one creature that lives under the sea, what would it be?
If I had to be one?
Yes.
An orca.
Yeah?
Yeah, because then I'd get to be in a pod, and they just seem like they're like really cool, and they're like...
They're matriarchal.
They're matriarchal. They're top of the food chain. Mm-hmm. They do cool jumps to kill seals.
Yeah, they're big.
Humans get excited when they see them. SeaWorld is no longer a thing, so there's not any threat of that happening to me.
Yeah.
I'm probably a little concerned about global warming, but, you know, who isn't?
Yeah, there's not, like, a sea creature that's going to be fine.
No.
Unless you're one of those ones that can eat plastic, those, like, little microorganisms.
Yeah, I bet krill are, like, killing it.
Oh, God, you just know that there's, like, a t-shirt that has a picture of a krill on it that says krill in it.
Yes, and I sell them. orca.
Good answer. This is only slightly related, but because you mentioned SeaWorld, someone on Twitter apparently pointed out that on Disney Plus, there's this old like special about Disney World that they have on Disney Plus that they apparently like uploaded the video that was like had all of the original commercials that aired with it. Like, wow. Not for Disney products, like, for other things. And it's still up, and you can watch it. I think it's called, like, Wonderful World of Disney, like, Disney World 1974. It has, like, the Mouseketeers in it, and it's so weird. I mean, it's a really boring special, but one of the things that is really, like, it's fascinating to see what Disney World used to kind of... I've never been to Disney World, but, like, the original park had this water park called like River Country, where it was like a man-made freshwater like river or lake that was just like had to be so disgusting, like not chlorinated, not anything like that. There were like fish and shit, and I looked up like what happened to it, and apparently like multiple people died from like amoebas going into their brain, and then it was it was abandoned for like many years, and it started becoming like reclaimed by nature, and it became like this whole thing, and then it finally got, I guess, shut down or something. But
wow,
yeah,
I went when I was really young, but I don't remember that. I guess I didn't go to that part.
I might have been shut down by then, but I'm
not
sure.
Yeah, it was the early 90s.
Yeah. Anyway, wild stuff.
Wild.
Does that conclude One on Fun?
Yes.
That concludes One on Fun. We will be right back with Wiki of the Week. Baby Geniuses is brought to you by the listeners, but also brought to you by Native. Native makes deodorant that smells really nice and has interesting smells that you don't get from other deodorant companies.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. I like the coconut one.
Native has ingredients you've heard of, like coconut oil, shea butter, and tapioca starch. It's also vegan and never tested on animals.
They also have a new limited edition scent, a pumpkin spice latte.
Ooh, I like that.
We all like it. For a while, we weren't admitting that we liked it. But you know what? We like it.
Performance matters. Make the switch to more natural products that do their job to keep you smelling fresh all day. One thing that I've noticed is I am not wearing deodorant for other people. I'm wearing it for me now. So I'm only going to use the things that smell good to me.
That's right.
Yeah.
Do it for yourself.
Yeah. Switching to an aluminum-free deodorant doesn't mean you have to sacrifice on odor protection. Native will keep you smelling and feeling fresh all day long.
With over 10 scents, including rotational seasonals, like the pumpkin spice latte I mentioned, Native has something for everyone. Their most popular classic scents are coconut and vanilla, lavender and rose, cucumber and mint, and citrus and herbal.
Yeah, my favorite is the, I think it's like the eucalyptus one. I like that.
Yeah, that one's refreshing.
Yeah. Make the switch to Native today by going to nativedeo.com/geniuses or use promo code geniuses at checkout and get 20% off your first order. That's nativedeo.com/geniuses or use promo code geniuses at checkout for 20% off your first order.
Hi, my name is Graham Clark, and I'm one half of the podcast Stop Podcasting Yourself, a show that we've recorded for many, many years. And at the moment, instead of being in person, we're recording remotely, and you wouldn't even notice. You don't even notice the lag.
That's right, Graham. And the great thing about this... Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Okay. And...
Okay, go ahead.
And you can listen to us every week on MaximumFun.org.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your podcasts.
We got Alan Mobile groomed.
Ooh.
So someone came to the house with like a grooming van and took him out. I felt bad because he was so excited at first because he thought we were going on a walk. But then they groomed him. Let's keep this in. Keep this part in the podcast. So they took him out to the car and I think it really worked better for him. Like, I think he was less nervous than he usually is. Like, every time I've taken him to get groomed by other people, he'll, like... freak out and they won't be able to really finish, and so there's always like, you know, I always say like do what you can. I get that he's like a, you know, a very nervous dog, but
yeah.
She said that he was just like licking her hand and it was fine, and she was able to give him a really short haircut, and so he looks like a different dog. And I know it's still Alan, but there's a part of me that is like, every time I look at him, like, wow, I can't believe they were able to find a dog that looks so close to Alan and acts so much like him to replace him with.
You think he got switched?
No, I know he did not get switched, but in my head, I'm like, did he get switched, though?
He might have been switched. A dog body swap.
Uh-huh. He looks different enough that it kind of feels like he's a different... Like, his whole facial shape is totally different. But he's just as obsessed with me as before. So I think it's still Alan. Oh, also last night, Peter gave him some steak. And so he was temporarily obsessed with Peter.
Yeah.
I was pretty excited about it. Anyway, welcome to Wiki of the Week. What Wikipedia page are we doing this week, Lisa?
Should we do Egg War?
Let's do Egg War.
Let's do it. Let's see how that goes.
Yeah. All right. This week's Wikipedia page was sent to us by...
Maya Stevens.
Thank you, Maya.
Thank you.
It is the Wikipedia page for Egg War.
Egg War is a name given to an 1863 conflict between rival egging companies on the Farallon Islands, 25 miles off San Francisco. It was the culmination of several years of tension between the Pacific Egg Company, also known as the Farallon Egg Company, which claimed the right to collect the eggs on the islands, and rival firms. The resulting violence claimed two lives. Oh my God, ow.
What?
No. ow, yes, death hurts. but left the egg company in sole control of the island's eggs. Its victory was short-lived. The company sold the rights to use the islands in the late 1870s, and the federal government removed all egging companies from the islands in 1881.
First of all, it really sounds like an egging company is like a company that throws eggs at your house for money.
Yes, it does.
But also, did you know these islands existed?
I did not.
Neither did I. And what kind of, I mean, I'm sure we'll understand soon what kind of eggs they are, but it's funny that we're this far into the page and we don't know what kind of eggs they are.
Humans don't know about these islands for the most part because these islands belong to birds.
Yeah. All right. So, okay. Egging on the Farallones. Farallons? I don't know. The Farallon Islands are the site of the largest seabird colony in the United States outside of Alaska and Hawaii, as well as an important sea lion rookery.
Oh, my mistake. This island belongs to birds and sea lions.
Yes. an uneasy alliance. This abundance of fresh meat and eggs attracted ships to replenish supplies and Russian sealers who were the first to collect the abundant common muir eggs. Mm. I guess a muir is a large auk. You know, an auk.
Oh, yes.
Awkward. Oh, God. Sell that with your krill in it t-shirts.
it's just all like sea life and seabirds with yes. horrible puns. Ugh.
And just like sea life that people cannot easily recognize from a picture.
Yeah, it's not like we don't do anything cute like narwhals or puffins or anything. Like really.
Just ox and krill.
Those are the only things left that haven't been like put totally into adorable merch.
Snapped up already.
Yeah.
When control of California switched from Mexico to the United States, it was not long before the economic potential of the islands became apparent. In 1849, a recent immigrant to San Francisco, quote unquote, Dr. Robinson, why is that name in quotes?
I don't know.
Sailed to the islands to collect the eggs, and despite losing half of his cargo, was able to make enough money to found a pharmacy and to form the Pacific Egg Company. The name changed over its history and is usually referred to as the Egg Company. The Egg Company strove to assert its claim to Southeast Farallon and the adjoining West End, or Main Top Island. It surveyed the islands, obtained a school warrant, and constructed buildings, paths, and landing facilities.
I don't know why I feel like the Egg Company like paid all their employees in eggs.
I mean, they definitely probably ate a lot of the eggs themselves, right?
Probably.
Yeah. I want to know how they lost half their cargo.
I know. What happened there?
Yeah.
Maybe it just went rotten.
Maybe they just rolled off.
Yeah. Egg collection was a seasonal occupation from mid-May until July. That's a very short season.
Yeah.
The eggs of muirs were preferred over those of other species, their eggs being the largest and most common ones available. Western gull eggs were also occasionally taken, having a comparable flavor, but they were smaller than muir eggs and more fragile, an important factor given the choppy seas between the Farallon Islands and San Francisco. Individual eggers collected from certain areas. Prior to collecting, the workers would progress through a colony, destroying every egg they could find. Thus, returning to the site on subsequent days, they could be certain the eggs they collected were fresh.
Oh. Oh.
But what about, how did baby birds
get born? Yeah, that's messed up.
Super messed up. Eggers had to work quickly, as the muirs would flush, and immediately the gulls would move in to snatch the unguarded eggs. Wow, so different birds are eating different birds' eggs.
Yeah. This is also, I was just thinking about the name eggers and realizing that that is related to collecting eggs, probably.
Do you think Dave Eggers comes from a long line of,
yeah.
Do you think he's rich in egg company
egg money?
I bet he is. McSweeney's, I knew there was something weird behind the McSweeney's.
Your fortune was born on the yolky backs of these poor seabirds.
I had a feeling. I'm here to
to
tell the truth.
The Egg War. The Egg Company attracted rivals due to the amount of money to be made from the trade. Many fishermen collected eggs on the smaller and more treacherous North Farallons, which were not claimed by the Egg Company, but others attempted to egg on the main islands. I just love using egg as a verb.
I know.
The company's claims to exclusive ownership of the island were dealt a further blow by an executive order issued by President James Buchanan in 1859, which claimed the islands for the federal government in order to build a lighthouse, which had already been built in 1853. The then lighthouse superintendent of the area, Ira Rankin.
Famous lighthouse superintendent.
Then lighthouse superintendent of the area, yes. He did not attempt to push the egg company off the island and instead asserted their right to collect over that of the other companies. In 1863, when a company of men led by David Batchelder, it says a David Batchelder, but I think there's not like a bunch of David Batchelders and they're just picked. It's not just like a random one of those.
Is this the one that is tied to the Batchelder fireplace design? Is that like...
I don't know.
Batchelder fireplaces. There's like homes in LA where they're like, and this one has an original Batchelder fireplace and it's got like weird, like special tiles.
No, I don't know about that. Okay, well, that's another deep dive for another day. Okay.
Another day.
So, okay. A company of men led by David Batchelder sailed to the islands. Rankin sent a boat of armed men to remove them from the island, seizing several weapons. Batchelder returned a few weeks later and, reinforced, tried again to remove the egg company. Rankin again sent forces to evict him and his men from the island.
Drama!
Yeah.
Batchelder returned once more to the Farallones on June 2nd, 1863. Rankin's forces again encountered them moored off North Landing, but Batchelder convinced them that he was intending to egg the North Farallones. Rankin's men left for San Francisco. With the government cutter gone, three rowboats with 27 armed men attempted a landing on the morning of June 4th. As Batchelder's men landed, they were fired upon by men from the egg company. Batchelder's men returned fire. They're shooting each other over eggs. The defenders had the advantage, having been able to pick their positions ahead of time. And after 20 minutes, Batchelder's men retreated. One man was killed on each side, and four of Batchelder's men were wounded.
Whoa.
For eggs.
For eggs. What's interesting, too, is this is, like, not that much after the, like, the gold rush.
Yeah.
So it's like a very similar vibe. It's like the same people who lived in San Francisco at that time were also other people who had like fucked up fantasies about like looting the earth.
Yeah, staking their claim and colonizing it and then like reaping the rewards and
yeah,
defending it to the death. Real pioneer
and they're
stuff.
Like, I didn't get the gold I wanted, so now I will get the eggs.
I will get the eggs.
Yeah. The aftermath of the conflict left the egg company in sole control of the islands, and David Batchelder was convicted of murder. He was acquitted on a technicality. The presence of the eggers on the island was tolerated for another 20 years, but they were finally evicted in 1881.
So are they still... Wow, look at all these greedy egg men.
Yeah.
Is the island
I am
still
the Eggman. I am the walrus. Cuckoo, cajoo. Now I know what Eggman means.
That's right.
Wow. Yeah. Fascinating. Okay. They're not that far. I wonder if I've ever been there.
Yeah. Have you boated past them?
I don't know. I don't think so. But it sounds familiar now. And it's really not that far from San Francisco.
It's not.
Yeah.
They're saying the water was all choppy between here and San Francisco, though, so it must have been far enough to break some eggs.
it's got to be pretty choppy. Wow. And three people have successfully swam from the Farallones to the Golden Gate.
Wow. There have been a bunch of shipwrecks on this island.
Whoa.
Fascinating. Whoa. Five people died on a yacht crash there in 2012.
Whoa.
Jesus.
What's going on in this place? No one lives there now, right?
No, I don't think any... I think it's not a big enough island that you could live on. It just looks like a bunch of rocky kind of outcropping. Like,
gotcha.
It's just for birds and sea lions.
It's now a wildlife refuge. That's good.
Humans should not go there.
Yeah. The islands are sometimes referred to by mariners as the Devil's Teeth Islands.
Ooh, I like that. That's cool.
Because of all of the treacherous underwater shoals.
Mariners do have like really evocative names for things, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, when you're out on a boat, like, what else are you going to do but think up, you know, very evocative names?
I know, super poetic.
Yeah.
Descriptors for everything. I love it.
Well, does that conclude Wiki of the Week?
I think it does.
Is this going to be a very short episode?
Oh, it's all right.
It's all right. It's okay for it to be a short episode, right? Everything is on fire.
Yeah.
I think it's okay that we podcasted for a slightly shorter amount of time.
I mean, you know, I could talk about the Martha Stewart's geese. I could.
You could blow your geese load.
I could blow my geese lead. If we want a little bit more content, we've already been talking about birds and eggs, so it's not like it's not thematic.
I have like a couple random tidbits that I can throw in too, as well, about other things if you want.
Sure. Let's hear one tidbit.
Okay. Well, oh,
give me your best tidbit.
I wanted to bring this up because of the egg war thing. I was walking my dog and I saw by a dumpster, I posted pictures of this. My neighbors, I guess, had like an egg wreath for Easter, like a wreath made out of a bunch of fake eggs that they finally threw away.
Oh, I did see that. That looked very cursed. Like that was a cursed image.
Yes, it was a very cursed image. And I went back and it's still there.
Cool.
Yeah. So that's related to the egg wars, I guess.
It is.
And there was one other thing that I wanted to mention, which was that, did you know that, Dogbert's original name was Dill Dog? It's unrelated to anything.
Did that change because of like notes from someone else?
It changed in between like before it got syndicated.
Do you think he knew it sounded like dildo?
I wonder. That... You know what? It's on the Wikipedia page. I'm going to find it right now. I'm sorry.
Dildog.
Like.
I hate that guy.
I hate him so much. He's such an asshole. One thing that I really have been enjoying is how much people have been trolling him every time he says something stupid where they just... There's like this ongoing bit, and I don't know who started it, where people pretend like he created Garfield instead of Dilbert. And they're like, they'd be like, great point. One question. When John leaves the house, who's in charge? Garfield or Odie? You know?
Does it drive Scott Adams crazy?
I don't know if he knows that. So he changed it because he realized he had to make Dildog more newspaper friendly because any printing error that dropped the G would wreak havoc. So he changed it. So he must have realized, yeah.
He knew, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that concludes Wiki of the Week. It's time now for What Did I Learn?
What did I learn?
Lisa, what did you learn today?
I learned that... I can't hold it in. I'm going to talk about Martha's geese. I just
do it.
It's quick. It's quick, but it's good. Okay,
take as long as you want.
This can't wait 2 weeks. I need everyone to know right now. I don't know where the world's going to be in 2 weeks. So for those listening, you need to know Martha added a pair of Chinese geese to her flock, and her flock is mostly Pomeranian guard geese.
And are they like fluffy like the dogs?
No, they don't look anything like the dogs, which is like really, really disappointing. But she wrote a caption, or whoever writes her blog wrote this caption. Thanks to their honks, geese make
thanks to their honks. Next sentence.
I know. I liked it so much that I wrote it down and I underlined just that part. But it's thanks to their honks, geese make excellent guardians for my chickens. But I just think thanks to their honks is so great that I want it as like a bumper sticker. Like thanks to their honks, don't honk at me.
Honk if you are a goose.
I can't imagine thanking a goose for its honks, but I'm glad Martha is.
It's funny that when they made cars, they were like, which animal should we make this car sound like? A goose probably, right?
A horrible, horrible goose. And then as far as the rest of Martha's geese, you should know that she has Sebastopol or Danubian geese. She also has Toulouse geese, and she has African geese.
All right. And they're all getting along? There's a lesson for us in that somewhere.
Right? There's such a multicultural collection of geese.
Yeah.
I will say, and this is, I just think the Chinese geese, they have a lot of bumps on their heads and like kind of bigger beaks, and they kind of look a little scary to me.
I don't like that. I don't like looking at birds that have a bunch of bumps on them.
No. But you know, no disrespect intended. I think for geese, like, more bumps is better and more attractive. And I'm just, you know, I'm looking at it from my human perspective of
right,
what's appealing.
Yeah. This is just totally, I think I just have been so like indoctrinated by like Mother Goose and like other kids goose literature that I just feel like they're supposed to be smooth.
Yeah, but no, I think for geese, it's like the more bumps and the more honks, the better.
Yeah, they're just gotta be like gnarled and
yeah.
protect the eggs. So what did you learn today?
I learned you can get a mobile grooming car to come clean up your dog.
Yeah.
And make your dog look like it's been doggy snatched by a different dog.
He's very smooth. He's smooth like I want the geese to be.
Make my dog smooth like I want geese to be.
Yes.
Is something you
that
can say.
That was the direction that I gave the groomer.
And they were like, what? Okay.
I learned that there's such a thing as Pomeranian geese, and they do not look the way you think they will.
No, it's disappointing, honestly.
All right, that's our show. You can email us at babygeniusespodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah. Send us butt pics, send us wiki links, and send us any other weird thing you want us to know or read.
Yeah, you can follow us. I'm at Mr. Emily Heller.
I'm at Lisa Draws on Instagram and nothing on Twitter.
Thanks to our producer, Rob Para.
Thanks for our music, Nate Heller.
And goodbye.
Baby
geniuses.
Yay.
We know everything. Baby geniuses. We know everything. Baby geniuses. We know everything. Baby geniuses. We know everything.
Baby geniuses is brought to you by KiwiCo.
We all know this school year will be unlike any other, whether your kids are going back to school or logging into a classroom from home. KiwiCo is here to help with hands-on science and art projects you can get delivered to your door. You're out of your mind, and your kids have gone feral.
They're not allowed outside. What are you going to do with them?
What are you going to do?
How are you going to make it to 2 p.m. with no screen time? It is a marathon, not a sprint. I'm so glad I don't have kids right now, but if you have kids right now, I'm sure you're looking for stuff like this to do with them, and KiwiCo is such a good solution for finding things to do with your kids.
They're truly here to provide. You can get them, they have all kinds of different crates, like I'm looking at this one called the Atlas crate for ages 6 to 11, and it's all about giving your kids a sense of adventure and curiosity and developing an appreciation for other cultures and geography. And I just think this is so cool.
That's so cool. And their crates cover so many different areas. It's science, it's art, it's engineering, it's everything you want to teach your kids about, but hands-on and just like interesting and fun. And also they have projects that like look cool for adults. They have like punch embroidery kits, things like that. Your child can get hands-on science, art, and geography projects delivered to their door every month, and they'll be so excited to see them arrive in the mail, especially now at a time when they might not be able to go to fun places like museums or hang out with their friends. It's a really fun activity that comes straight to them.
As a parent, it can be hard to find creative and new things to keep your children busy and challenged, especially now. there are different crates for our kids of all ages, so there's something for every kid on your list.
KiwiCo is redefining learning with hands-on projects that build confidence, creativity, and critical thinking skills. There's something for every kid or kid at heart at KiwiCo.
Get 30% off your first month plus free shipping on any crate line at kiwico.com/geniuses.
That's KIWICO.com/geniuses.
Woo!
Hey, Jakey.
Hey, Helen. Hey, you've got another true-false quiz for me?
Yep. Our trivia podcast, Go Fact Yourself, used to be in front of a live audience.
True. Turns out that's not so safe anymore.
Correct. Next. Unfortunately, this means we can no longer record the show.
False. The show still comes out every first and third Friday of the month.
Correct. Finally, we still have great celebrity guests answering trivia about things they love on every episode of Go Fact Yourself.
Definitely true.
And for bonus points, name some of them.
Recently, we've had Ophira Eisenberg, plus tons of surprise experts like Yardley Smith and Suzanne Summers.
Perfect score.
Woo!
You can hear Go Fact Yourself every first and third Friday of the month with all the great guests and trivia that we've always had. And if you don't listen, well, then you can go fact yourself.
That's the name of our podcast.
Correct.
Woo!
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.